Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. Hello, Sonny, and it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Happy, happy MLK Jr. Day.
What was it like in your house growing up?
You know, it was a big deal. My dad and my mother, they were both social justice advocates.
Sure.
They were activists as well. I mean, you imagine an interracial couple getting married a year after the Loving decision came down. So I think in a sense, they felt that they owed the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And my father would often say, why are we celebrating President's Day? Why are we celebrating Washington's birthday when he owned slaves? Like they were very politically astute.
Mm-hmm.
And
informative for you,
and
clearly.
Very informative for me, people that know me. And he would play Stevie Wonder's record album, Songs in the Key of Life, that had the happy, that has really become the happy birthday song for Black people.
Yes.
Right? Like that's what we sing during birthday parties. And he was like, listen to this. You see, there ought to be a day. And he would like sort of sing it along. And when MLK finally got his day and he got his due, I mean, my father's company did not give that day off.
Mm-hmm.
But he took it off as a personal day. And I recall a time when I was working when, even though it's supposed to be a federal holiday, some places that I worked did not observe it. So, and I always took the day off.
I don't think I ever worked somewhere that observed it until I came to The View.
Yes.
And Candy and me and Hillary decided to do it. I don't know if it's always been a day here where we post-taped
Absolutely.
A show. So the show that was on today, we taped earlier in the week.
It's a holiday, a federal holiday.
And as you've said to me many times, it's a day for service.
It's a day for service. And that's typically what I do. My family does. And one thing that really struck me when Senator McCain came on the show, one thing that I always held against him was that he voted against having this MLK Day recognition. And he said, listen, I've written about it, but I feel that it was one of the worst mistakes of my life.
Right.
And that really struck a chord with me, because for someone to admit that this man should have been recognized for trying to bring people together for a long time was pretty significant.
Yeah, credit for him to admit the mistake.
Yes.
So many people don't.
They don't.
So the Martin Luther King Day shows that we've been doing over the last 7 or 8 years, I'm really proud of them.
I am too.
And I think you certainly have a big hand in shaping what we do there.
Thank you. It's nice to be asked what guests should we have and what message resonates now, because every year is different.
It really is. I mean, it's a different conversation the year of George Floyd than it is this year, and coming into an election and things like that. So I'm very appreciative of your input and Whoopi's and
Audrey
and
even Jada this year, I believe my assistant was very helpful.
No, we just want to hear from everybody who has a thought on it. And then Jamie Hammer oversees this and does a terrific job with her team. But the first, to your point, it's different every year. This year's hot topic we were talking about, I think because it's an election year, how Republicans are dealing with Black history and race in general. And tell me what your thoughts are right now and what we think MLK would think about the state of this country.
I think he would be devastated that the legislation that his friend John Lewis worked on his entire life has never come to pass, that there have been attacks on our right to vote, and that there has been this intentional long game play, in my opinion, by conservatives, by Republicans, to erase Black history. And not only to erase Black history, but to erase and dismantle systems, right? And I think it was LBJ who said, you know, if you can convince the poorest or the lowest white man that he's better than the poorest or the lowest black man, then you can convince him of anything. And so what we're seeing is race, I think, and most especially history being used as this sort of wedge issue to divide our country more than ever. And one of the things that I've been thinking about that sort of keeps me up at night is this notion that people feel that their station in life could be better, but for, let's say, someone that doesn't look like them.
Right.
And I'm seeing that more and more and more. And what I don't like is the erasure of contributions of immigrants, contributions of black folks, contributions of Jewish people, because we saw things like that in Nazi Germany. They burnt the books of Jewish intellectuals, right? And what we're seeing is people don't know that a black man invented refrigeration. They just don't know that. And when you're able to convince people that a set of people don't provide any contribution to a society, you can convince them that they're less than and that they are the problem. And I'm seeing that in Republican politics, and it's working.
I think it's inherent in it's a flaw in American people and maybe in people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Personal responsibility for in general. And I think people want someone to blame.
Yes, they do.
And I think savvy people looking to manipulate others know that if they give them an other to blame, it can be.
It's grievance politics.
Yeah.
And it works. People think, why does that person have a better car than I have or a nicer car? Why does that person live in a nicer area? It can't be hard work. It's because of affirmative action. Why did that person go to get into that school? And so you see this dismantling of all these advances that Martin Luther King wanted for this country. True equality, an equal playing field, means that you have to be ready that someone that doesn't look like you may do better than you do, whether it be through hard work, whether it be through education, whether it be through just sheer determination. And in my view, you know, if you've been privileged your whole life, and not only privileged, but let's say your mediocrity is considered excellence, when there's a true playing field that's equal, excellence wins the day. And then now you feel oppressed and you feel like someone took something from you. And it's a shame, because that is not what Dr. King wanted. I know Dr. King's daughter. I'm honored to know her. And she's pretty disgusted at the state of things.
Is it worse now than it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yes.
Or is it? It is. It's actually worse.
Yes, it's worse. And the interesting thing is, you know, I was one of those people that thought, oh, my goodness, we have a black president.
Sure.
My father said he would never see it in his lifetime. We all cried. I actually had pictures of the Obama family up in my home, the way a lot of people had the Kennedy family up in their homes. And I think there was a backlash to that.
Yeah.
I think, again, it was, oh, my goodness, now you have someone that doesn't look like me that went to a school that I couldn't get into and that is the president, who, by the way, was kind of unassailable in terms of moral character compared to the former president, Trump, who's been indicted on 91 counts, criminal charges in four different jurisdictions.
Respect for how you get that in every conversation.
and it's really something. I think we're seeing a backlash to that.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. Well, today on the show, we had two absolutely phenomenal guests. Let's talk first about Yousef Salaam, one of the Central Park Five who were falsely accused and convicted of raping a woman in Central Park in 1989.
Yeah.
And now he's a New York City councilman.
Yes, he is.
I was so taken with every aspect of him.
He's brilliant.
Brilliant and just so compelling to listen to.
And filled with grace.
Yeah. Yeah. You've met him before. Tell me how you know him.
Yeah. I am friends I grew up with Ilyasa Shabazz, Malcolm X's daughter. I know that sounds
You're friendly with both Malcolm X's daughter and Martin Luther King's daughter.
I know that sounds very crazy, but when you know me, you know that makes sense. So she actually lives in Westchester, and so I see her often. And she made it a point to reach out to Yusef Salaam, and I got to meet him through her. And I knew immediately that he was different, that he was special. His mother was an extraordinary mother and support system for him. Some of the others, unfortunately, of the exonerated five didn't have that. And when it came, and so we kept in touch. He had a card at the time. And we just definitely kept in touch. I gave him my information. He gave me his. And when that docuseries came out, When They See Us, that Ava DuVernay directed, I think, just in such a wonderful way, I was asked to meet with all five of the exonerated five and to interview them. And I was struck by how the criminal justice system had affected each one. You know, Raymond seemed to be doing pretty well. Corey Wise seemed to be doing pretty well. Yusef was excelling in my view. He depended on his faith, and he had that grace, and he had a sense of forgiveness. And one of the exonerated five, in my view, wasn't doing well. He was traumatized. And I spoke to Yusef about it actually off camera, and he said that he's just decided to lead a very private life because he was so traumatized by that
experience. Understandable in a lot of ways. I mean, what do you remember about when all this took place in the early 90s? I was in high school, and I remember... just a little.
And thanks, Brian. Barely. I was in college.
Well, but you were probably much more aware of what was going on and paying attention to what was going on. I was looking at headlines of the paper, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I really read in.
Yeah.
I really read into it. And what was striking to me, I wasn't a lawyer at the time. I was in college. I was at the time studying journalism. So
this really is the heart of everything.
It was the heart of everything. And it was this sort of intersectionality between my social justice work and journalism. So I read everything I could get my hands on. I remember definitely Donald Trump taking out that ad in the New York Times calling for the death penalty. And I remembered feeling myself that my male friends now were being not only otherized, but being... sort of diminished in a way, and people would be fearful of them. So that scared me. And what also was shocking to me, even though I wasn't a lawyer, was there was no physical evidence. But there was evidence from someone else, an unidentified person. Yet they took these kids. And to be clear, you have children. I have children. They were 15. You know, Yusef was 15. And his thought at the time, because I've spoken to him about it, is these are the police. They're here to help me. So let me help them. Let me give them as much information as I can.
Right.
And this case was built solely on confessions that were illegally gotten after days and days of interrogation, something that is not allowed. It's just illegal. And I remember Yusef telling me that when his mother walked into the police station and demanded that they stop questioning him, that he felt that she probably saved his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm such a mama bear.
Understandably. I mean, absolutely 100% understandably. Yusef talked about forgiveness and how he came to forgive Trump, saying forgiveness allowed him to surgically remove himself from all of that harm. What was your reaction to that? I have a feeling I know, but tell me.
You know, he's a better person than I am. And that's it.
A different person.
There are people that are better than you are. He is a better person than I am. He has much more grace than I have. I tend to, as you know, Brian, don't believe in the when they go low, we go high.
No.
I sort of believe in meeting energy. And I sort of believe in when they go low, I become small like an ant, and I go as low as the earth's crust. That's my belief system.
That's pretty low, Sonny.
And so when he gave him that kind of grace, someone that wished death upon him, someone that basically wished a public lynching on five innocents. I don't think that I would have that kind of grace.
I have to say, I don't think I would either. That,
right? I would just say, oh, wow, karma didn't lose Donald Trump's address.
No. That being said, I would like to remind you of your New Year's resolution that we discussed last time you were here, and the idea that you were embracing...
Joy is resistance.
Joy is resistance. And we talked about you making it to February 14th.
I may not make it.
Yeah, I feel like you're wavering a little bit. I got to be honest. This week, I'm starting to lose it. But we got to...
I may not make it. My father may be a better person than I am.
Yeah,
you see?
We'll get there. We'll be right back.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
We also had Colman Domingo on today for his movie Rustin. What a fantastic actor. And
a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Rustin, what was interesting to me was so many people didn't know Rustin's story. And one thing that I think we captured was, you know, the reason that Bayard Rustin was a hidden figure behind who orchestrated the March on Washington, to be clear, mm-hmm. even MLK's speech. He was one of the people that sort of begged him to speak to the masses, along with Mahalia Jackson. The reason people didn't know about him was because he was openly gay when it wasn't done, right? So right. You're talking about the 40s, 50s, 60s, that kind of thing. And the civil rights movement was in large part organized in the black churches. They were everything. If anybody gets a chance to watch Skip Gates' The Black Church documentary, he explains that very well. And Skip Gates does everything well, in my view. But the black church has unfortunately had a problem with black homosexuality. And they felt that they could not organize as well. They could not get as much support if a black gay man, who was, by the way, brilliant and a brilliant strategist and a brilliant organizer, was the face of the March on Washington. And that saddens me. But I took up African-American history in college because I knew I didn't know enough. And I learned his story. And it's a shame, again, going back to my previous point, that we're erasing this type of history. Like, every American child should know that Bayard Rustin was the organizer of the March on Washington, which led to really significant changes in civil rights. And when you think about it, if a young black gay boy knew that, wouldn't that change his perspective about what he was capable of doing?
I'm certain it would.
You know?
And we talked about this yesterday when we filmed it. Most of the staff didn't know anything about.
And that was
Rustin.
That was so shocking to me. And I don't know why, but it was. I was like, what? And I actually also remember learning, and I think I'm right, that Rosa Parks wasn't the first person to refuse to give up her seat. But they felt that they needed a sort of fairer skinned.
Oh, wow.
School teacher that was petite with little spectacles to be the face of it, that it would be more acceptable to be able to get not only black people on board, but the country on board.
Right.
And that's also sort of something people just don't know about.
Right. All right. So this all goes back to the first thing we talked about, which is people need to know these stories, know their history.
Because this is not just black history.
Right.
It's American history.
Absolutely.
Which is why I guess I was so shocked that people didn't learn it in school.
Okay, well, speaking of American history, we announced on our show last week that Vice President Kamala Harris will be joining us at the Hot Topics table this Wednesday. So what are you most looking forward to discussing with her?
Listen, I've interviewed her recently for Essence Fest, and I just think she's so incredible. I'm interested in speaking to her a lot about a lot of things. I'm interested in why the administration is losing the young vote, what they need to do to change course. I'm interested in whether or not she believes the administration has kept its promises to the black women who form the backbone of his win. And I'm interested in her vision for the next 4 years. What haven't they accomplished that she believes they can?
That's great. And I'm looking forward to hearing those answers. And then with you referred to Essence Fest.
Yes.
Something happened at Essence Fest with you and the vice president.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell people?
Well, usually when you are interviewing someone and it's, you know, you have to travel to interview, you do bring two options. I never check a bag because I feel that they screw you at the airport and you get a lost bag, a lost luggage tag all the time. So I don't check a bag. So I didn't have room for two suits. I only had room for one. And I chose a white Sergio Hudson suit that Sergio made for me. I walk in to greet the vice president about an hour before, and she is wearing basically the same exact suit. And she didn't freak out, though. In all honesty, she didn't freak out. She was just like, oh, twins, you know. Twinning. And by the way, our birthday's on the same day. You know, we're both members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And then I see my friend Valicia Butterfield, who used to be president of, I believe, the Grammy organization. And we're the same size. And so she's like coming into the space with clothing because she was going to interview someone. And she, of course, had more than one outfit because you're supposed to. Maybe she checked a bag,
which was
probably wrong. Yep. But I had to borrow a dress from her.
All right. So we need to clear the outfit this time. I'm just saying we need to have that conversation.
I will tell you, I told our stylist, Fran, please find out what the vice president is wearing.
Yes.
Because I want to wear a particular outfit and I don't want to match. But this is the best thing, guys. You know how people think that she doesn't have a sense of humor and how she's so stiff? I get a phone call on my cell phone from the vice president. And I actually thought it was my friend Regina making a joke. And so I won't tell you the stuff that I did. But
oh, no.
She starts laughing out loud and she's like, no, Sonny, this is really the vice president of the United States. And I said, oh, my God, you really think I'm crazy now, you know? And she said, no, she was laughing about all the stuff I was saying. And she said, please, no, I would not have made you switch your outfit. And maybe next time you interview me, we intentionally wear the same.
OK,
white
well,
suit.
Stay tuned. Folks.
So stay tuned because you may see that.
It could happen.
But she was that gracious about it. She wanted to make sure that I was OK with the experience.
That's great. It's always interesting to me how the public perception of people and the backstage perception
yes.
never lines up. I always mention Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
As
oh,
someone
she's so
who is
funny and warm.
Hysterical. And then if you ask 20 people on the street, what do you think Hillary Clinton's
yes.
like? It's they
she's
think,
clever.
Yeah.
And,
no.
and the vice president is very similar.
It's been my experience, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today, Sonny. Tomorrow, I'll be joined by Sarah. In the meantime, if
yes.
you have a question or want advice from me or a co-host, check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline.
We're giving advice now, Brian?
Listen, we're going to be available for advice. I think, listen, you know, there's a lot of questions people have. We see this with our audience all the time. So we're going to reach out to our dedicated listeners
oh
and
my
get some
gosh.
Questions. So what would you like Sonny to let you know, give you some advice on, answer any questions
I can
you
give
have?
Very good advice on relationships.
I know you can. I know you can. I think this will be good. If you need some ideas for revenge.
I'm good at that.
I think you are. I think you are. So that'll be great. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.